So a lot of activity around prayer in the journey, which is important. We need to pray. We need to pray, don't we? Why do we need to pray? Rhetorical question. Because prayer changes things. How many people here have had an answer to prayer? Even a small one. How many people have had bigger answers to prayer? How many people know that prayer works? And I'm just thinking about the times that Jesus, it says that Jesus prayed often. And this isn't putting anything, I've got a terrible prayer life, I must admit. It's very chaotic, it's very piecemeal, it's very sketchy. I used to be one of these people who would religiously get up at a set time in the morning to pray. But that just doesn't suit me now. I'm not a morning prayer. So I find other ways and means of which I can. But then I begin to realise that I've been hard on myself. And perhaps I'm speaking to a few people here today. Not to be too hard on yourself about how you pray. It's more about the why you pray. The why you pray is because it's important. It connects you in to the source. It connects you into Jesus. It connects you to the Holy Spirit. It connects you to the place where you can get answers and the help that we all require on a daily basis. The how is probably not so important, but it's the why. So today we're going to talk a lot about prayer. We've got Joel and Emma and Jonathan are going to share some stuff. And all being well, if I steward the meeting well, Pete's going to wrap up with something which will lead us into wrapping everything up in a nice little bow and saying, there you go. There's your prayer box. But Jesus prayed often, and I just want us to even be thinking as we gather today, as we listen to the worship, that we understand that the more we pray, the more peace we have. The more we pray, the more help we have access to. The more we pray, the more we'll see answers. The more we pray, the more we'll see the changes that we want to see come to pass, etc., etc. Prayer changes things. I was thinking, before going to a time of offering the opportunity for stories, there's a story in the chapter 5 of the book of John where there was a man who had been an invalid for 30, 40 years. I think he was blind. But he'd taken himself to this place where he knew there was a potential to be healed. It was the pool of water. And once a year, the water stirred. And those that could make their way into the water could be healed. But he had nobody to help him. He had nobody to help him get into the pool. So year after year, he would turn up to this same place in this same act of religious fervour, this passion, this need, and still walk away with his prayer unanswered. And for me this morning, I just wanted you to know that you just have to pray to be helped this morning. Yeah? You just have to turn to Jesus. If you think there's no one to help, then you actually believe in a lie. If you think this morning there is no source of help or there's no one to help where you're at, you're actually believing a lie about who Jesus is and about who the Holy Spirit is and what prayer can be. Jonathan, would you come up and share part one? We've got 5 parts to our prayer theme this morning, and Jonathan's sharing the first part to it. Thanks, Jonathan.
Hello, yeah. I've got 3 other parts I'm sharing today, so this is part 1 of 3 for me. It's three stories on answered prayer, except some of them on sort of answered prayer, so we'll get to that. First one, nice and simply, old story, you might have heard it, but going back to when I was 7, so we're going back 3 decades or so at this point, this was... I'm 38, Sarah. So yeah, 31 years ago, I was at school, as you'd imagine that most 7-year-olds are, and I was, some of you heard this story, I was stuck on some subtraction problems, and they were teaching us how to do subtraction. I don't know how they do subtraction nowadays, but you write a number and then you write a number below and a minus bit in there. And, I spent an hour sitting there doing nothing. I couldn't work out how to do this. And then the teacher was yelling at the kid who was sitting next to me for not having done anything in the hour. And I thought, okay, it's my turn next. But I can't get anywhere with this. So I prayed to God. I said, God, help me with these subtraction problems. I need to ask the teacher for some help. I can't do this. But God, don't let her be angry with me, and let her explain to me what to do. So I joined this queue. I don't know how schools work nowadays, but I joined this queue of three or four kids waiting to see the teacher. And we, you know, my turn came around, and I said, look, I don't know how to do this. And she left the rest of the queue behind me, took me to a table and sat down with me for 5 minutes and just went through how to do subtraction sums, fairly simple subtraction sums. But for me, this was just incredible because it was just the direct answer to prayer. You know, why had she yelled at that kid and not at me? Either the teacher was irrational or perhaps there was more to it than that. Perhaps she knew that I did actually not want to waste time but actually want to learn how to do this. But yeah, I saw it as God hearing my prayer and God answering my prayer. And it was one of the most, I guess, foundational experiences of my life to see God at that age hear me, that God's hearing me and responding and changing. As John said, prayer changes things. Sometimes it changes God, sometimes it changes those around us, sometimes it changes us. But at this point, that for me was a key event. And yeah, you could argue I went on to do a maths degree, partly as a result of God working through mathematics. But, that's my first story.
That's excellent, isn't it? And that rationalises away an answer to prayer. If you pray for something, and you've simply prayed for something, and God answers it, then don't try and work out the other ways in which it could have happened. It's just believe it's God exercising and demonstrating his love for you in a very simple, practical way, whether it's a small answer to prayer or a big answer to prayer. That might have seemed like a small prayer for Jonathan at the time, but it shaped his whole destiny in terms of his career choices, what he's done and who he's become, and what he's doing at Royal Holloway now. It's become a whole part of who he is. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? You know, small prayer. God changes things through prayer, and he changes us. And sometimes it just opens the way for a completely new adventure in him. Emma is going to share a little story or two. Yay, Emma, on prayer. Thanks, Emma.
Thanks, John. Yeah, so when Pete mentioned sort of sharing about prayer, I was thinking about what I might... There's such a kind of broad topic. But my thoughts went to how prayer strengthens our relationship with God, and that sort of prayer in the sense of just communication with God, talking to him in little ways, not necessarily the sort of the intercession side of it, but the just, yeah, our sort of daily relationships with God in the form of prayer. And I was thinking how, for me, prayer has been really important in how I trust God. You know, how prayer has helped me develop my trust in God over various times. And I think we all probably find that when things are going well in our lives, it feels quite easy to trust God often. And when things are feeling hard or not going how we might want our lives to look, that can be harder to trust God, because life is harder and it makes you question things. So yeah, I was just kind of thinking a bit about that. So this time last year for me was a really difficult time. My granddad had just died. My sister had been really ill in hospital. My family all live in the northeast. So I wasn't able to kind of be there and help them out. I was feeling a bit dissatisfied in my job, and there were a few other things going on that just felt like there was a lot, and it was quite difficult. And, you know, tough to trust God in those kind of times when you can't see beyond, you know, the things that are challenging you to where you might be going or where you might want to go or where God might be taking you. And I remember finding at the time that I feel like I learned a lot about trusting God as a choice we make. I think there are a lot of aspects to trust. One of them, I think, is choosing to trust God based on what we know about him, looking at that bigger picture of who he is, what we know of him through what we read in the Bible, through what we see in other people's lives, through what he's done in our own lives, and taking those things and saying, I know from all these things that God is trustworthy, so I'm going to choose to trust him even when I maybe don't feel like I do, or like I know what's going to happen. So yeah, I think I learned a lot about that through that time in my life. And I think prayer was a really key way that I was able to make that choice on a daily basis to keep trusting him. And like I said, just sort of small everyday prayers, just, you know, in a moment feeling a certain emotion or feeling confused about something, taking that to God and saying, God, I trust you with that. And I would quite often, if I'm not feeling like I trust God, I just sit and repeat it until I feel like I mean it. Things like that, or just, you know, walking along, listening to worship songs. I find that a good something in my prayer life. I often will, you know, sometimes there's those songs that really speak into a situation that might be going on in your life. Listening to those and sort of praying the words as you listen or as you sing along. I think things like that, that kind of thing is really important in my prayer life as well. And yeah, just taking those daily small moments to just remind yourself that God is good and that he is trustworthy. And yeah, I think prayer, from my experience, enables us to have that relationship with God and to develop that. And yeah, I encourage myself by thinking about that, because like John shared earlier, I think we probably all think our prayer life is not very good. And I can look at my own life and say, well, I don't pray often enough. You know, I don't sit and pray every morning, or I'm not praying for this situation or that situation or this person. And, you know, I think we probably feel like our prayer lives are never good enough because they never could be. And, you know, there's always things that we can grow in. But I encourage myself and all of you to look at those little moments that you just connect with God as really important. So I wanted to finish off by reading a passage from Proverbs 3, which is a pretty famous one, but something I come back to in terms of trusting God that really encourages me. I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. My child, if you truly want a long and satisfying life, never forget the things that I have taught you. Follow closely every truth that I've given you. Then you will have a full and rewarding life. Hold on to loyal love and don't let go, and be faithful to all that you've been taught. Let your life be shaped by integrity, with truth written upon your heart. That's how you will find favour and understanding with both God and men. You will gain the reputation of living life well. Trust in the Lord completely, and do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. Don't think for a moment that you know it all, for wisdom comes when you adore him with undivided devotion and avoid everything that's wrong. Then you will find the healing refreshment that your body and spirit long for. Glorify God with all your wealth, honouring him with your very best, with every increase that comes to you. Then every dimension of your life will overflow with blessings from an uncontainable source of inner joy.
Jonathan is going to share a bit on prayer. Every time somebody gets up, so we've got Jonathan once more and Joel, let's just reflect on what they're saying and let it wash over you, the words. We've just had Emma sharing about trust and the truth of what she was going through last year. And I know other people have been going through difficult things and difficult situations over the last couple of years. But let's just learn from what we've been encouraged by this morning. Jonathan.
Thanks. Yeah, me again. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Great. So if my first story was about something like God hears us when we speak to him, I think my second one is about God always wants good things for us. So my stories are about Peter. And in these stories, Peter is me, or Peter is you, and I am God. So nice analogy there. thanks, Pete. Pete says I look a bit like God. I don't think. Anyway. But you get the point. I'm looking at a sort of a father-son relationship here. So if Peter says to me, can I have a biscuit? I say to him, sometimes I say to him, yes. Sometimes I say to him, no. And sometimes I say to him, how many have you had? And all of those are kind of related. So if he's, Rachel and I said some time ago, you can have two biscuits. And that's generally the rule, he's allowed two biscuits. When you're a three-year-old, rules are quite helpful. But before he could count, asking him a question like, how many have you had, meant nothing. He doesn't know how to answer that. So it must be, have seemed quite hard to him at times. And sometimes he says, can I have a biscuit? And the answer is yes. And sometimes the answer is no. And we've looked at the number of biscuits he's already had. I'm looking at analogies here with us asking God for things. And sometimes it seems like God is giving us different answers. But in everything, in our response to whether Peter can have a biscuit, it's about, yes, what he'll like and what's good for him and what we've decided is good for him. I'm not going to go into the debate on how many biscuits we should have. That's another separate health debate, you know, and if you want your children to have one or zero or 74 biscuits, that's up to you. What I'm saying is what Rachel and I have decided, and this is where the analogy falls down. I'm not God when it comes down to it. But I believe, as Emma was saying, it's about trusting in God, that God does want what's good for us, and God is making the right and the good calls in these situations. Another example, if Peter says to me, Daddy, can you help me put my shoes on? Now, my answer for many years has been, yes, I help you. But there were times when I've said to him, no. I've said to him, no, Peter, I'm not putting your shoes on right now. It's bath time. I'm trying to get you in the bath. Putting your shoes on right now is counterintuitive. We've just taken your shoes off. And at the moment, if he says to me, can you help me put my shoes on? I'll say, yes. Why don't you give it a go? It's not me not saying yes to him as such. I want him to put his shoes on. But there's a time of saying, you might be able to do this yourself, and you can do it yourself. And this is something about our relationship with God. Sometimes God has said yes to us for years, or so it's felt, and now God's not saying yes here. You know, what's going on? Why have the rules changed? When you're three and the rules change on you, you get confused. When you're older and the rules change on you, you get confused. I think that's more or less all I want to say, but it's something about trusting in God to be making the good calls. I don't always make the good calls for Peter, but I try to. My heart is to do the good thing. God's heart for us is always to do the good and the right thing, and I believe, as Emma says, trusting in God, that he is making the right and the good call in each situation, even if it seems inconsistent, even if it seems like sometimes he's saying yes, sometimes he's saying no, and sometimes he's saying, how many have you had?
Anybody who has asked me about, like, prayer or, like, answers to prayer or, like, has got me to talk about that kind of, like, scenario has probably heard this story before. This morning, you know, I was sitting there thinking, okay, right, I think I know what I'm going to say. And God was just like, you should say that one story again, Joel. I was like, no, people have heard that. I was like, no. But the longer I sat there, the more I felt like actually people might get about you from this. So my life, as I'm sure you know, because I'm doing a PhD, is mostly academic. It's been academic for the vast majority of my life, and I actually think that it's the area in which God has worked the most for me, because of one instance and then the rest of time after that. And it basically comes down to my, picking your universities, right? In secondary school, you know, I thought I was the bee's knees, right? I thought I was clever. I thought, you know, if anyone can get to a Russell Group University, I could, you know? The teachers were like, yeah, Joel, absolutely, you could go for it. They want to see you, get into Russell Group University so you can be like, oh, well, this, we can put one, add one to our number of successes list, and it's just great. I applied for five universities, as you do with UCAS. I applied to Cambridge, I applied to UCL, I applied to Imperial, and then you get to a point where you got to be okay, well, I've got to think of insurance offers, just in case I don't make it, I probably will make, but, and so I picked Loughborough and a secret fifth option, which shall not be named. but yeah, no, I was kind of just like expecting, like, you know, God to be like, God to work in that, and ultimately for me to be sent to, you know, one of the big three that I picked. And you know, neither Cambridge nor UCL like offered me a interview, let alone a place. And so, like, I was like, towards the end of like the process, I was like really putting my hopes on the fact that I would get into Imperial. I was like, okay, cool, this is like one of the best places for computer science. I'm gonna like go in, I'm gonna smash it. And like, obviously Royal Holloway was my insurance offer. And well, I'm here now, right? And that was a massive blow to my confidence. I missed the entry requirements by a grade, and you know, I remember like being on camp with the Boys Brigade and like getting the news that I hadn't made it, and just like having to like sit alone for a while, like having to like take it all in and like be like, oh my gosh, like my academics are my strength. Like surely, like, does this mean I'm not smart? Like, does this mean I'm not like good at things? Like, and like mum and I were like praying like hard into this. We were like, oh my gosh, look, like, please, like, maybe be something here. But obviously, you know, eventually, like, term time came closer, and I got into my room at Kingswood. And I still remember to this day the time where my parents left, and I sat like in my chair staring out the window, and I had a real sense of, I don't belong here. Like, I had a real sense of, like, I'm better than this. I've, like, messed up here somehow. And, like, you know, in that moment, like, I felt, you know, like, God didn't do much for me in that sense. But obviously, like, if I'm standing on the other side of it now, I, like, could not be happier with, you know, the friends and relationships I've made, with the church I'm with, with the, like, lessons I've had at Royal Holloway. And sometimes I wonder if, if I did go to Imperial at any point in my life, I do wonder, like, how much different of a person I'd be. I wonder, like, if I'd still think, you know, that academics were my, like, were my strength. I wonder if, like, I would have, like, you know, put some time into, like, discovering other avenues that I enjoyed, like singing and drawing. I wonder if, like, you know, I would have been, you know, big-headed, and like, I wonder if I would have gotten through the experiences that ultimately like inevitable, like without the people that were there for me here. Now I sit in my PhD office, and I started at the same time as this other guy called Ben, and he did his undergrad at Royal Holloway, then he went to Imperial, and he, like, for his master's, and he's come back here to do his PhD, and, like, he was telling me, like, the other day that, like, Royal Holloway is very different from Imperial, in the sense that Imperial expect, like, they teach you stuff, and then, like, they don't let it sink in. They, like, go on to the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. And it's, like, there's not necessarily, like, the difficulty, but it's, like, the amount of stuff that they, like, put onto you that, like, stresses you out, like, puts you in not great places. And it's like, and I do wonder if I would have, like, survived in that environment, honestly. And, like, you know, at the end of the day, we're in the same place, starting at the same time. Who knows? but yeah, like, I think that's an example of like a delayed or like a trickle of an answer to prayer. It's like, it was a momentous occasion where it's just like, oh man, everything's gone wrong here. But God was always in control. God was always like, I got you. And like this event, like ultimately, I strongly believe this was the best place for me. So that's my story. Yeah.
Thanks, John. Yeah, my story's got some similarities to Joel's, this one. The third story tries to deal with some of the realities of life. After the first nice, simple story, we call out to God and he answers us. You're stuck on some math problems, God hears. The second one, adding a bit more nuance, the sort of father-son relationship. Sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes no, but God's got good stuff. And then my third one, bringing up to date, is my story of this week and trying to bring these things together. So I went for a job interview on Monday. This was at Royal Holloway. We've lost our director, so I went for the position of acting head of strategy and planning. And I didn't get it. Yeah, so I don't know if that's spoiling. Well, yeah, but... So what I want to try and do is unpack some of the complexities of these realities, because there are times, there were people praying for me to get this position, and they were praying other things as well. And it's interesting looking at some of those. And then you can look at some of the factors that led to some of these results. So I was going, obviously, for this position, and there was somebody else in the department going for it as well. And we'd been friends for 10 years. Well, we'd worked together there for 10 years. And so we already knew that for one of us, this was going to be tough. And this could hurt the relationships. And so some of the people, my parents praying for me, had apparently been praying that one of the key things was for harmonious relationships in the office, whatever the outcome here. So... Yeah, the first thing, I didn't know they'd been praying that, but the first thing I did when I heard I hadn't got this position was go to her and say, congratulations, well done. I'm not going to give you any trouble here. You know, we've worked together a long time. I'm very pleased for you. And I was able to say that. I was able to say that from my heart rather than just, you know, this is what I should be saying. And that felt really good. It was an opportunity to show grace in that situation. And so, as I say, I spoke to my parents at lunchtime and I was in tears. You know, I was still upset, don't get me wrong. But, you know, when they said that, I thought, yeah, God's already been answering that bit of the prayer. And, you know, this isn't the answer to prayer I was looking for. but, you know, God's done something right and good here. And she said, when I said to her, oh, it's amazing that you can say that. And I thought, yeah, this is good and this is right. There's also other things you can learn. You know, something... very humbling about being told you haven't got the position. I don't know if any of you have been in that position. Probably most of us have gone for a job interview and not gone on it. And that can be very good for you, that humility, if you embrace it in the right way. So I'm here boasting about my humility today. I thought you'd like that, Sarah. But yeah, God can move in that. If we look to God... To humble ourselves, to realign our thought processes. And then it's just the chance, you know, I was chatting to some of the, you know, the deputy principals and so on, and them asking, you know, how I'd found it and so on. And I said, well, look, you know, I didn't perform on the day. And he said, you know, no, you didn't. He said, you weren't as eloquent as you normally were. He said, but, you know, there'll be opportunities, more opportunities to come. And, you know, one of that... I don't know if you guys get insomnia at times, but for me, that Sunday night was just, you know, I thought all I need to do to perform tomorrow is get a good night's sleep, and I didn't get one, and I don't know why sometimes I just get this insomnia and can't sleep. But even in that, throughout this week, I've had an amazing week this week. This week's been great. just felt God very close to me in what might have been looked at as it was a disappointment, don't get me wrong, it was a disappointment at the time. Yeah, so what am I trying to say here? I'm trying to say that sometimes that God's answers to our prayers, perhaps similar to my stories of Peter, are results that we don't expect, but can take us to good places. Yeah, I guess I'm trying to also bring in the realities of life. You know, this is job interviews, this is insomnia, this is workplace relationships. You know, these are the things that really matter. This is where prayer really... You know, we're looking at, does it work? How are we responding to God? What's our relationship with God through these things? So that's why I wanted to share that, similar to Joel's story, when things don't always seem to go to plan. And some of the outcomes, you know, they're still in God's hands. I'm trusting God's got good things in store for me, for the workplace in time to come.
Thank you. Thanks, Jonathan. I mean, what I loved about all the sharing this morning, and you might not be in the same place, but it's just about the complexity of life and just how wide ranging it is, and that we don't live in some kind of utopia where everything's perfect and everything's wonderful. That's to come. That's the promise of eternal life, isn't it? When we can look forward to when there's no more tears, there's no more pain, there's no more suffering. But at the moment, we're right in the middle of a world that's hurting, where there is pain and there is suffering. And that's just the world. And then you take it down to ourselves, where we might be feeling and having those feelings. But God hasn't changed, and God will not change, and he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there's just something in being part of a community where we try and endeavour to be real with one another. And that's why prayer is important, because we pray to somebody who is real. We pray to a known God. When we were looking at the Alpha course, it was, again, just underpinning to each one of us and the people that were listening that Jesus was a real person, and he did walk the earth, and he did bring comfort and healing and compassion to those around him. And his Holy Spirit's doing the same today when Jesus says, I have to go, but I'll send another who's exactly like me. That was the promise of his Holy Spirit. And the promise of his Holy Spirit is the same today. You can just reach out and pray to the Father through the Holy Spirit and receive that same comfort in disappointment, that same consolation in bereavement or suffering, that same sharing of joy when it's fantastic, when you've had the best news in the world. Jesus shares in that as well. He shares in our suffering, and he shares in our joy.